Good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to the Thursday, November 21st, Tama County Planning Commission. We do have a quorum and we will have a meeting. Will you please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
Salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. The next item on the agenda is citizens' concerns. This time is set aside for citizens to address the Planning Commission on any item of interest to the public that is within the subject matter jurisdiction of this commission. No action may be taken on any item not appearing on the agenda unless this action is otherwise authorized by Government Code Section 54954.2B. Typically, this applies to items meeting criteria as an off-agenda emergency. The chair reserves the right to limit each speaker to 3 minutes. Disclosure of a speaker's identity is purely voluntary during this public comment period. Does anybody in the audience or in the public have anything to say that's not on the agenda? Seeing and hearing none, the only thing I have to say is that just for notification is that on October 25th, Commissioner Turnbull and I attended a Planning Commissioner's Workshop in Chico. It was an all-day session. They brought in guest speakers, and it was entertaining. It was also quite enlightening, the fact that a lot of counties have the same issues or worse than we do. Takeaway was they brought in a bunch of guest speakers, one on water issues, one on the Paradise Fire. They had a big one on that, and they had what was the other one? They had the one from
being a new commissioner.
Yeah, being a new commissioner, which was interesting.
And then some of the things that they were trying to get through in Butte County is relative to fire safety.
And then Chico State made one, a presentation. Two people from Chico State made one on the population, what is happening with the overcrowding and what they figure is going to happen with the repopulation of Paradise. And their guess, I'll give it a guess, is that they figure that probably 20% at the most of the people that left Paradise will return. And they're looking at 400 to 500 permits a year, so at 19,000 homes, it's going to take them a long time to build it out. So they have a big job up there and a big issue, but we'll see. You know, if we live long enough, you might see Paradise partially about what it used to be, but it probably won't ever be the same. That's just mine. And that's what I'm just making that knowledge that we did attend that and we had a good day. So does anybody have any questions about? Okay. Hearing none, I will close the citizens' concerns and move on to item number 3, minutes of the meeting on September 5th, 2019.
I have a correction, I believe. Commissioners present. I believe Commissioner Lee was present as well.
On the 5th? Yes, he was.
His name is omitted from the commissioners present line there on the first page.
Okay, do I have we need to take action on it? Does anybody have a motion about the September 5th?
I make motion to approve the September 5th, 2019 Planning Commission minutes with a correction.
Second.
We have a motion with a second. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Chair votes aye.
Sorry.
There was a question here, Jessica. It also says approval of the August 15th minutes on the top. Minutes of the meeting, item number 3 on page 2 of 3. Anyhow, it was approved, but it was just in these minutes also. But, all right, next item on the agenda, or the first thing on the regular agenda is, it's a environmental health code enforcement. It's a hearing on notice issued by enforcing officer of public nuisance enforcement action against the premises. Mr. West.
I was wondering if we could skip the sequence. I don't have an agenda in front of me, but we have a case with the last name involving McNeely on Highway 36 East.
Okay, that's item number 3.
Okay. I would ask that that case be withdrawn for today.
You want it to be withdrawn?
Yes, sir. Met with the property owners in the hallway just prior to the meeting, and I think we're going to work out a solution.
Okay. So you want no action on the resolution?
Correct.
All right. Okay, we'll go back to item number 1. And that's the Blake.
Okay, this is a visual blight case involving property at 16990 Rancho Tehama Road. The last name of the owner is Blake. It's G. Roy and Sheila Blake are the owners of record. So we know what we're talking about. I have a Google Earth image of the parcel. And the visual blight consists of a burned mobile home frame and flooring left behind. A detached garage that was never finaled in its permit process that also endured fire damage. And the property owner has begun rebuilding the rafters in this without permits. This complaint came to me through the Tehama County Sheriff's Department in the form of photographs. So this is during an overflight in October. You can see the top of the burned detached garage, and you see green foliage within it. And a closer look, we see that there's a large marijuana cultivation occurring inside this building. This is the second or third year in a row that the marijuana has been grown in this fashion in this building. My coworker had previously taken up a case with this gentleman, and it just seems that the case stalled out, so I'm starting to back up to try to finalize it. This is all stemming from using the historic data in Google Earth. Look, appears 2010, 2011 is when this fire occurred, and this is the Google Earth imagery at that time. You can see the fire-damaged mobile home. I don't know at what time the detached garage was damaged by fire. So some pictures of what this property appears like on the roadway. Several photographs. So from Rancho Tehama Road, looking onto the property, subjects living in a recreational vehicle, and you can see the damaged building. So the remainder of what you can see from the roadway, along with the, I don't know if it was a double wide or a triple wide mobile home, but you can see all the burn debris still left up on top of the decking. This is just a little zoomed out version. Off to the west of the garage and burn mobile location, we see a bunch of burned vehicles that are stashed under the canopy of the oak trees. So this property has a visual access on two different roads. This would be Elder Creek Circle on the back side of the property, and that's what can be viewed from the roadway. And then there's additional vehicles that are on the east side, kind of tucked around the trees. Abatement notice was issued to the property owner of record on October 16th, 2019. A copy was mailed to the address given on the assessor's office, and that's in Conyers, Georgia, and a copy was posted on the property for the occupant to read. I've had no communication with the individual as to his intentions to resolve this problem, and the Georgia mail actually was returned to our office, so I assume it's no longer a good address. So I'm asking that the commission make a recommendation to the board to declare this a public nuisance.
Is if they're not in Conyers, Georgia, and they're not here, who's living in the trailer?
The G. Roy Blake, I've had conversations with him in the past. He claims he works in the Bay Area as a mechanic and lives here on his days off.
But he's not the owner of record?
He is.
He is.
So he has failed to change his address with the assessor's office.
Okay. On that RV, Chris, is that if they don't have a permit to rebuild, how long can they live in that RV?
They cannot. You can get an administrative permit to live in it for up to 30 days, but they haven't come in for any kind of permit. If you have a building permit, you can live in the RV while you're constructing,
right?
As long as a permit is valid.
But they pulled no permits?
Not apparently. There
are no active permits on this parcel currently.
Okay. Any other commissioners have any questions of staff?
You indicated that you had had contact with the owner. That was prior to?
Yes, sir. It was in my co-worker's case investigation. I was present for several conversations. And then if I see him out on the property, on occasion I have stopped and talked to him to try to ask him to address these problems.
Again, prior to the notice, correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
Well, do you have any questions? Okay. Thank you. Is there anybody here representing this piece of property? Okay. So much for their administrative rights. I'll bring this back to the commission for action. Yeah, what we're taking action on is a resolution declaring this property a nuisance, that if the property owner does not clean it up, then the county will abate it themselves and keep track of all costs. And so what we're doing here is we're actually approving the action via resolution that will go to the Board of Supervisors.
Can I make a motion to adopt the resolution declaring the existence of a public nuisance on the property? It is a use or condition of the property in violation of Tehama County Code 10.16, is unsafe or detrimental to public health, safety, and or welfare, ordering abatement thereof and directing an itemized accounting of the costs incurred in abating the nuisance.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
We have a motion with a second on this item. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Chair votes aye. Pass 3-0. And then the next item on the agenda is another environmental health code enforcement, another public nuisance enforcement action at 6915 Bonnie Court, Corny.
And this case surrounds unpermitted structures, is the boil down of the circumstances. This is the property we're discussing today. I have to give you a little history so we can lay the foundation. Mobile home depicted here on that would be the most western portion of the parcel, was a previously permitted single-wide mobile home that was on the property. I believe it's 2005, 2006, a replacement mobile home permit was issued with instructions that the new mobile home on the northern portion of the parcel was to be installed, and the single-wide mobile was to be removed. What drew my attention to this parcel to begin investigating was a very large unpermitted barn being built on the far most western portion of the parcel. This case has drug on for a length of time over some disagreements and tactical decisions between the three agencies, environmental health, code enforcement, building department, planning. What we have is the septic system for this unpermitted single-wide mobile home is going under the unpermitted barn structure. And in how to deal with it, initially we requested the removal of this unpermitted mobile home as well as this unpermitted mobile home. But at the conclusion of all these discussions, the building official has decided he will allow this unpermitted mobile to remain, but the septic has to be addressed or the barn has to be removed. So it's been a lot of back and forth, and there's some language barriers with the property owner, I think some misunderstandings. The notice for this case was issued on October 16th, 2019, and similarly, this was mailed to the property owner of record, as well as posted on the property advising of the violations. So we currently have some agreement going on with the property owner. He does have an active septic permit, and I do have photographs showing him actively working on the septic permit. He is going to divert the sewage for this single-wide mobile home out here. In doing so, he will then be able to procure a permit for the barn. He also needs a permit for an awning he built onto the single-wide and an awning he built onto the double-wide mobile home. So there's still a lot of progress still to be made, and as noted, this case kicked off in 2018, probably midway point, so we know what kind of structures we're talking about. Here's the barn that was built without permits, and here's, I believe, Mr. Dominguez actively working on his septic diversion. Here is the single-wide mobile home that the building officials decided to allow to remain on the property. So we'll have to address this awning. It'll either have to be permitted or removed. And then here we have this stated by the owner of the property. This mobile home is being used as storage, and he plans to remove it at some point. So I ask that the board make a recommendation to declare a public nuisance in this case. In case we fail to reach cooperation with the property owner, I'll have the authority to take care of the problems.
Okay, so everything is the barn. The only holdup is the septic system.
Correct.
And so, then the mobile home and the barn will be permitted.
Correct.
At that time.
He'll have to purchase a permit, and yeah, I don't know what the integrity of the structure is. I haven't inspected it, so it may or may not fly. I'm not sure.
Any questions of staff on this issue?
Yeah, I have one. What initiated, was there a complaint or?
So I had dealt with Mr. Dominguez a few years prior with a marijuana grow that was located behind the single-wide mobile home. I began observing that the plywood panels that made the enclosure started to construct this barn. That's what drew my attention to the parcel. The Illegal Construction Act. And then in investigating, going through the Google historical data, started seeing the switching of the mobiles, looking at the permits, figured out that, yeah, they had not actually completed the permit process by failing to remove the single-wide mobile home at the replacement stage in 2006.
Thank you.
Paul, do you have any questions of staff?
No.
Okay.
Can I ask a question? Is the single wide a 1,200 square foot or smaller?
I don't know that information, to be honest with you. The subjects are here. Maybe they could advise.
Okay. This is, are you done with your presentation at this time?
Yes, sir.
This is an administrative hearing for code violations, and is there anybody that's representing the Dominguez's? That'll be you. Would you like to come up and say anything on this matter?
No,
we've been working. Okay, so you have nothing to say. Very good. All right, I'll bring it back. Do you have anything else to add?
No, sir.
I'll bring this to the commission for action. And what we're doing, the same thing here, is we're taking action on the approving a resolution or not approving a resolution, either or, to back up the actions that the code enforcement is trying to take that they can use in the future if they can't come to some kind of other resolution.
I'm just wondering, do we really need to take action today, or since this is an ongoing
process? It's been going on for over a year.
Right.
And so they need some teeth, I guess.
I'm just trying to save some time to rather than redrafting the paperwork. I have no interest in taking action if they fulfill what their commitment is, but it would give me the authority down the road.
If we take action on the resolution as far as penalties, monetary penalties, if they do resolve?
Mr. Dominguez has already been invoiced for $3,000 in fines, the maximum we can go in a round of fine action for the violations. So I could reissue a notice of violation and increase the fine amount, but I don't think that's going to gain compliance.
What's the wishes of the commission? I feel based on what we've seen and heard and the time frames involved and the lack of activity is that we should take action on the resolution.
Can I make a motion to adopt the resolution declaring the existence of a public nuisance on the property at 6915 Bonney Court in Corning, that it is a use or condition of the property in violation of Tehama County Code 10.16, is unsafe or detrimental to public health, safety, and or welfare, ordering abatement thereof and directing an itemized accounting of the costs incurred in abating the nuisance.
We have a motion.
I'll second it.
We have a motion with a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Chair votes aye, no nays, 3-0.
Thank you, Board.
Do you guys understand what just happened here? So the county can come in here if you guys can't work out some kind of resolution. All right? That gentleman right there is the one you got to work with. Anything else?
No, sir. Thank you.
All right, says item number 3, it was withdrawn by code enforcement. The only thing left on the agenda would be director's comments.
So you all know that Katie has officially quit, gave her 2-week notice. We interviewed last Friday for planners. We're going to do a second interview this Friday. The person we have in mind is going to come. We had 2 people that we have in mind. First one on the list is going to come meet staff this week. So hopefully we have somebody hired by beginning of next week.
Okay. Filling Katie's job as a planner 1?
Yes. Well, it was reclassified as a planner 1-2. And that the reason it was reclassified as a planner 1-2, we reclassified both planning positions. The reclassification was planner 1-2 and a planner 3-4. And that's the purpose of that was in order to, for longevity, then if once they get the experience and
promote
and everything, then they can move up. And so.
Okay. Anything else?
I don't. I'm glad you both went to the conference and learned lots of interesting things.
I've learned that there's a lot of planning commissioners out there with 20 years on the, and I can't understand that.
Yeah.
Anyhow, nothing else on the agenda. I'm going to move that the meeting be adjourned.